Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 27 to 29 will be today's main text under the title of By Faith, He Kept the Passover and the Application of Blood. By Faith, He Kept the Passover and the Application of Blood. This title will contextualize today's teaching. Chapter 11, to the effect of the protocol of faith, it explicates to us as to how we need to mechanize ourselves to the end of living a good life of faith. Continually today, through Moses, teaches us on the life of faith. Moses had lived up to 120 years old. His lifespan can be segmented into three components. The inception period, 40 years, he lived in the royal palace, learning the worldly knowledge and the worldly decorums as a prince of Egypt. In the intermediary period, after 40 years old, for 40 years, in the wilderness of the journey of faith, he led as the spiritual leader of the Israelites. It was a period in which he was undergoing training to be a leader, spiritual leader. And after 80 years old, God summons him and greets him and meets him under the shrub tree and calls upon him, summons him to commission him into God's calling in the mission of God. And for 40 years, he leads the life to uplift the Israelites from the plight of their faith. When he was 80 years old, he was convoked by God and became the spiritual leader, as he was the leader of the Israelites. We can glimpse into the faithful life that he had led. By faith, he was impervious to the fear of the Pharaoh. Verse 27, by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Verse 27, chapter 11. At first, when he summoned Moses, God, he was in fear of the Pharaoh, and he rejected the first summoning, and he evaded the summoning, and he made excuses not to go. God, I am inarticulate. My lip is stiff, and I'm not a very good orator. You need to send a different person that suits the profile better. I am incompetent. I am incapable. I am not the right one to be sent and be delegated with the work. Like this, he rejected God's summoning and the calling and kept on evading. But at the end, he overcame the fear. And according to the calling of God, he goes down to Egypt and carries out the mission that he was commissioned into. He could see God. This is what empowered and enabled him. He saw God. Upon becoming fully cognizant of God's presence, he was able to carry out without fear. He was in fear of the Pharaoh, and he continued to evade the Pharaoh because he was in fear. But each and every time, God, there was a word that he told him. Book of Exodus. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. I will be with you. Without fail, God says to Moses these words. Moses had firmly believed in these words, and upon this belief, he was able to carry out the mission, and he was fully mindful of this without fail, that God is always accompanying him. Moses, he was up against the Pharaoh. He, at the time, had the absolute reign and authority over the land. It was incontestable, but he was impervious to fear. He boldly conveys the message of God, saying, free my people. And even though he was constantly threatened, he plowed through and uplifted the Israelites from their plight. He was empowered to do this because he saw the invisible God. By faith, God said he will always be with him, God has said to him. And he was transfixed to disbelief. And from the faith, he could see the invisible God, although it was not in his immediate vision. He could see God, and because of it, he was impervious to fear of Pharaoh. Fear, it is a problem of issue of faith. It's the matter of our gaze. When you gaze fixedly upon God, the fear will dissipate, and you can overcome the fear. Those who have pets say these things when they are not in the presence of masters. They are a cute dog, well behaved. But the moment they are accompanied by their master, they become obnoxious and starts to bark. The fear is no longer present in the temperament of the dog, a little dog, a puppy even, boldly barks. It is a matter of our gaze. If you know that the deacon is with you, the deacon is embracing me right now, while you are mindful of this, you can be emboldened and be more brazen. When you fix your eyes upon God and know that he is accompanying you invariably, when you're cognizant of this, and when you firmly believe in this fact and open your hearts and eyes, and when you gaze your eyes on God upon this belief, you can embolden yourself and be fearless and boldly approach the tyrannical kings of the day. Peter the Apostle, heretofore, he was a fisherman and the waves were constantly pestering him. But when his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he could boldly walk on top of water. But the moment his eyes faltered away from the gaze of Jesus, he plunged into fear, and he even physically plunges into the water. Israelites, the army, when their eyes were fixed on the immediate visual of the Goliath, they were trembling in fear. But David, what did he transfix his eyes on? He saw beyond the giant Goliath and saw the presence of God, the invisible God. With his faith, he rested his eyes on God, and he was emboldened and empowered to triumph over the giant Goliath. When you open your eyes, when you fix your eyes on God, all fears will dissipate, and you can triumph over all worldly fears insofar as your eyes are fixed on God. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28. Yahweh, our God, only he alone is the aim of our fear. There's no other. While you are in reverential fear of God, and while you are in fear of this, you can triumph over all worldly fears and be bold. The Arabic king, envoy of chariots and horses, were sent and surrounded Elisha. Elisha, Enoch stood up, his servant, and upon waking, when he beheld the armies marching toward him at a quick pace, he was in great fear and tells Elisha that the army is approaching. Oh God, what are we to do? In despair, he's in fear. Even upon hearing this from the Enoch his servant, he was at peace and tells the Enoch, do not be in fear. Do not be in fear. As God is with us, to the effect he says this to the servant. And the God who is with us is far greater in strength than the army approaching us. Far greater in strength. Our God, our Yahweh, he is far stronger than the armies approaching us, he tells the Enoch. And then praise to God, Yahweh. Open our eyes and have them see you, he prays. Yahweh, we yearn for you. Open the eyes. Yahweh, we yearn for you. Open our eyes and have us see you. We beg of you, he says. He prays. God, I pray in his name that our congregants will all open our eyes and see you. I pray, God, Elisha, upon hearing his prayer, and opens up the Enoch's eyes. And when he opened his eyes, even though he could see that the army was approaching, he saw how the army of God was protecting him, Elisha. I pray in his name that our eyes too will be opened up like them. And with our opened up eyes, that I pray that you will see how close God is with us. And regardless of all the frightening chariots and horses are approaching us, attacking us, wanting to hurt us, you can embolden yourselves and triumph over it with faith. Open your eyes. I pray in his name. Book of Genesis, he says unto the serpent, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. I will crush you. Crush. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. God, he, according to his command, he will crush the head of the skull of the snake on top of the hill. Temporarily, he was hurt, but on the third day, he rose again from the dead and triumphed over the authority of death and crushed and smashed the skull of the devil. The serpent, the devil, in various wearing various masks will attack the devotees, but he has already lost on the cross, as God had shed his blood on the cross for our salvation. And in that moment, his defeat has been concluded once for all. And in his name, his authority, devil's authority, and his incessant attacks will be casted away, and you will be impervious to it. He believed only in Jesus, and on this belief alone, he was impervious to fear, and he was able to boldly carry out this mission. We too, with the faith that can be likened to Moses, let us open our eyes and our hearts and see God without fear. Let us be fearless and embolden ourselves to carry out the mission that we have been assigned to carry out by God. And second, the young lamb's blood was applied. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Moses, as he approached Pharaoh, he told him, commanded him to free my people. he boldly exerted himself. But the Pharaoh was obstinate and intractable, incorrigible, and was defiant of the command that Moses conveyed to him. What happens if you are defiant of God? You will be receiving the punishment to the utmost. And this is what happens. 10 plagues the Pharaoh. It can be partitioned into two. The 9th first plague is a warning, admonishment. And the 10th is the final. 9 warnings are given to the Pharaoh so that it will not lead to the 10th punishment, which could be the end of all. The 10th plague and the punishment was the death of the firstborn. It's a death judgment starting from the Pharaoh's firstborn. All that was under his reign, the firstborns, even the animals, people, they had to die. This was the 10th punishment. But the Israelites, they could evade this punishment as God opened up the path that can lead to salvation, which was you were to kill a young lamb and apply it on the door. And the emissary of death roams around the district to kill the firstborns. And you could hear the wailing and despairs of the death of these firstborns. But upon seeing the blood applied on the doors, he will skip over it. And all those who by faith and from the faith applied the young lamb's blood could preserve their life. What if among the Israelites, if they had not believed in the firm command of God and not applied the young lamb's blood, instead, what would have happened if you think? You are the Israelite. What would have happened if they had not obliged fully? They would not have evaded death. It would not have been led to salvation. If they deviated from the command that God had given them and they had adopted a different method, for example, killing a young lamb is too cruel. So if they had, for instance, applied the pink paint, what would have happened? They would have died and not be redeemed. Redemption is a grace given to us by God. Hence, you must fully oblige without deviation. There's no other method. There's no alternative. Only according to his word, you must oblige and carry out the command. They had to apply the young lamb's blood, the Egyptians and the among the strangers, to evade the deathly judgment. If they had heard the same secret message that the Israelites had heard, and what would have happened if they had applied the same young lamb that the Israelites had applied on the door, then the firstborn would not have died. They would have been redeemed. Regardless of your ethnicity and your tribal background, applies to all across the board, they would have been saved. If they had killed the young lamb and applied it on the door, they all would have been saved. From faith, the rituals of the applying of the blood was carried out. And this was a shadow of the Jesus to come, that he too, it is indexing the coming of Jesus Christ according to the grace they have received from God. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name. This is Jesus Christ. he burdened himself with the sins of humanity. He is the young lamb that is burdened and shoulders the sins of humanity to redeem us from the damnation. He came to us as the Passover young lamb. This is Jesus Christ to save us. Jesus, like this, as a young lamb of the Passover, during the period, he shed his blood on the cross and was crucified and paid for the penalties of our sins. He had executed and fulfilled our sins and has led us to redemption. And all those who believe in him, because of the sacrifice, we can be saved. And from the damnation of the authority of devil, you will be uplifted and be saved. And the death will pass over you, skip over you, and receive the eternal heavenly life. Jesus Christ, according to his teaching, this is the path that he has carved out for us. He alone is our Savior. There's no other. He is the way, the only way, and no other way. There's no other salvation. No religion, no other name under heaven can save you. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Under no other religion you can be saved. Buddhism, absolutely not. Hinduism, absolutely not. Islamic, no. Catholicism, no. No other religion can save you, and you cannot be saved. Under no other name you can be saved. Buddha, Muhammad, Maria, you cannot be saved. They have all died. They are still dead. They cannot resurrect into their past forms. They remain dead. Only Jesus Christ, he not only died for our sins, but he triumphed over death and resurrected from the death to fulfill our salvation. He alone can save us, and he is the way and the only way and no other way. Only he can save us, and he is the only one that can usher us into the heavenly kingdom to his Father. He is I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. Book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Pastor, you might say to me, what if we lead a good moral life with good deeds? Then can we be saved? According to our merits and mystical spiritual awakening and moral life, and can we be saved? You know you cannot be saved. You cannot be fully free from sins, regardless of all your good Samaritan work. If you are blemished by one sin, you will be damned and will be led to hell. You have to be unimpeachable with sin and be fully purged of the sin. Only Jesus Christ, he can save us. And we became and when we were saved, Moses, from faith, from the ritual of applying the blood, Israelites were able to save themselves from the fate, ill fate. We too, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you will receive salvation. Lastly, and thirdly, through faith, he walked across the Red Sea. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned among the with the 10 plagues. And we could see the God's wrath for judgment. And after 400 years, they were liberated, and they start the march of redemption toward the Canaan land. And they rejoiced in the march. And while they were marching through the land. There was a red sea that blocked off the road, and right there and then. And the Pharaoh thought that it would be the best opportune moment to kill them all. As he was in front of them, behind them, they were encompassed by the Pharaoh's army. There was no road for them to escape, the Israelites. And in this despair and in this state, they resent Moses and they upbraid Moses. And toward God, they engage in blasphemous epithets. But with faith, Moses prostrates before God. In this state of despair, where there's no road and path and opening, he yearned and prayed to God with faith, even though he was in a hopeless state. And Book of Exodus, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Moses says on to the complaining Israelites, "Do not lay your eyes on the army about to attack you and the encumbrances surrounding you, but only cast your eyes on God. This is faith. Regardless of your circumstances, without fear, if you transfix your eyes on God, you will be fearless. You will be emboldened. See the salvation God will give you and the grace that he will give you." And with this belief, his staff, he struck it down and commanded the Red Sea to part, opening up the road for them to walk across. And the Israelites were shocked of this, saw the God's miracle and God's grace, and they exclaimed in gratitude, and they walked across the Red Sea, and they exclaimed God as they rejoiced in walking across the Red Sea. The ocean, the deathly ocean, but they were walking the life toward God. They exclaim and praise God. And hymning, how great God is he. Our souls have been saved. To this effect, they hymned and praised God. They all autonomously stood up and praised God without being commanded to do so. We too, upon having received his grace and being saved, while we carry out the life of faith, you will be encountering hardships. You will be tested and a road will be blocked off, and you will be blocked off from the life of faith. It may seem to you that there are no openings for you to pass through, that and that you are encircled by difficulties. But like the Israelites, let us not be resentful of God and complain. Do not be impatient, uttering blasphemous words. But people of faith, like Moses, you prostrate before God, and instead of complaining and being resentful, you do not turn away from God, and you pray to God, firmly believing that he will uplift you from your plight, and the miracle he is about to perform on you, you expect it without doubt, and know that he will part the Red Sea like he had done for the Israelites, and you praise God for the miracles that he will perform onto your life. I pray and I yearn that you too will be like this, like Moses. Moses. Upon becoming 80 years old, he was quite old. He received God's calling at that age, and he carries out the life of faith as he was commissioned into his ministry. And with faith, he saw the invisible God. And regardless of all of the hardships, he triumphed over it and marched through it and evaded the wrathful judgment of God. Through faith, they walked across the Red Sea, and through faith, he parted the sea. From God's grace, we too when you are called by God to carry out a mission, let us oblige with faith the title of being the Prince of Egypt, the worldly knowledge, being articulate, being a great orator. This is not necessary. What is of critical importance is that you have faith at the center of you. You have to have faith. This is all the requisite criteria you need to carry out God's work. And only fear God, fear no other, as the fear will be in vain. Only believe in God and carry out your mission with this single-mindedness. Carry out your mission and praise the miracles and the grace of God and his awesome powers. And with faith, let us trust him without doubt and experience the miracles that he will perform unto your lives. Let us walk the life of faith and his miracles. Let us pray.